Good evening. It's a blessing to be here with you tonight, that we get a chance to present God's Word with each other and look into what He has to say. I thank you for signing up for the Stuff a Student program. I know I put a cheesy name on there because I like to do that. It makes me laugh. But we're doing the program a little different this year, and I'm just going to use a little bit to tell you about it. Each first Sunday of the month, I want you as families to sign up to take out a college student. And for that month, they're your responsibility to just make sure they're here, to check on them and just provide them, maybe if you want to send them a special treat in the mail or give them a phone call and check on them, that you do that and just have a chance to talk to them and get to know them. And each month, we're going to switch students. That way, we get to know each other more and more, and the families get to combine. So I just wanted to share that with you and present that to you. But before we get into our lesson tonight, let's pray together. The Heavenly Blessed Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings of life that you have bestowed on us. God, we thank you for this chance we can come here to worship you. As we get into this time of our lesson, we ask that you'll give us an open heart, an open mind, an open Bible. We'll take the things that we study and we'll write them on the tablet of our heart and we'll go and share them with others. God, we just ask that you'll protect us as we study this. We lift this prayer to you through your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I don't know if you saw our college shirts that I designed. But if you get a chance, you'll see them. They're chocolate. They're dark brown. There's a big circle on the back. There's a design that you may not be very familiar with. And the one that's on there is one that I chose that it really touches my heart, and I just want to tell it to you real quick exactly what it means. On the back, you're going to see a big X with what looks like a P in the middle of it. Those are actually the first two letters of Christ in Greek. And on the outside, you're going to see an Alpha and Omega. That is an old Christian symbol that's been around for many, many years. It's something that Christians came up with a long time ago that they would carve on lots of stuff. And I found that would be something good that we put on the t-shirts to remember our roots, where we come from, and that we still are the church that was established. We still are the church that worships God, that we are still that family. And that's the word that I want to look at tonight, is the word family. If you were to ask me what is family, based on my personal opinion, and I'm going to get personal with you tonight because as I'm ministering here, I want you to know my background and where I come from. If you ask me about my family, I'll tell you that it's plagued with financial problems, drugs and divorce, a lot of anger and a lot of rage. When I was in third grade, my mom and my dad, Alan, they divorced. Since that point, we struggled with his drug addiction, going to divorce courts. Holidays were always a struggle. Having to meet up with that side of the family and all the pain and all the grief that went on there. In March of 2004, he overdosed and passed away. So when you ask me about my family on that side, I have to tell you the truth there. My mom providing for two young guys, we struggled with financial problems. Her sister, her son struggled with drug addiction, to the point where one of his daughters is severely mentally handicapped because of him and his wife's drug addiction. And they finally divorced and he is now remarried. Once again, if you ask me about my family, I have to tell you about the struggles, but we also have happiness and joy that I'm there with my mom and I do love her and she's back in Birmingham and she sends me texts all the time and calls me and just to check on me. And my grandparents there that we do have a close-knit family in that small part, though, but everywhere around it is plagued with lots of struggles. So when you ask me what family is, maybe I have a different opinion, maybe something you can't relate to and maybe something you can. So let's go to somebody that we can talk about. What about Christ? You're going to ask Christ about his family, and you start reading in Matthew chapter 1, and you look through his genealogy. Maybe you've skipped over it a couple of times when you're trying to read through the gospel accounts, where you see this list of names. Jesus, in his personal background, his family, he had a lot of struggles too. Just one, if we could zoom in on it, you'd look at the family of David. David had a mixed up family that I can relate to. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, killed her husband, had a child that died because it was struck with plague. And then his son, he had constant conflicts with him where he eventually died. Absalom, which is the son, his sister was raped by the nephew, and it was plotted by the cousin. I'm not alone in the world when it comes to a mixed up family. So when you ask Jesus about his background, about King David and the other ones, he would tell you stories like that. But he would also tell you that David was a man after God's own heart. So with that being, setting the line that we all have constant struggles when it comes to family. Maybe we have different definitions, but let's get into more about what Christ really says about family. If you were to go to Matthew chapter 10, we're going to read starting in verses 34 through 39. Listen to what Jesus says about family now. He says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So what's going on here, Christ? Jesus, what are you talking about when it comes to family, that I'm supposed to hate the members of my family? That I'm going to have contentions with members of my family? Now, I can relate to that, but he's talking about ones that may stand in the way of a relationship with Christ. He says that our whole desire should be to knit closely with Christ, that we follow him and God no matter where they tell us to go. Just as Abraham was told to get up and leave his entire family and to go to a place that he wasn't sure where he was going, that we follow Christ with a full faith and we trust in him. And he said there may be contentions with people you come across. It may be in your own family that you have struggles that you may need to separate yourself from. But he said, don't worry, there's something better coming. If you go to Matthew chapter 12, let's find another definition of family. Starting in verse 46, going through 50. As Jesus is going around, he's preaching, he's doing all these lessons, and people asking questions, and he's responding, and great crowds come to him, and they're just standing around him. And when you get to verse 46, imagine that big group following around Christ. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the men who told him, "Who's my mother and who are my brothers?" Now, mothers, think about this situation. You've got your son delivering a lesson with a great group of people all around him, and you just want to talk to him. You want to go out there and you just want to, you know, give him a hug and say something to him. And so you find somebody and say, "Can you go in there and tell Jesus that his mother and his brothers are out here?" And when you get the reply back, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Would your feelings be hurt a little bit? Would you step back and think, okay, what just happened here? What's going on? Why would Jesus say that? But then he goes and clarifies. And when he says that, listen in verse 49. And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, is my brother and sister and mother." We have a wonderful dynamic here at Dalreda. We have a family that is powerful. That is something that the church has. The ones that follow Christ and the ones that want to follow after his commandments and love God and love Jesus and love the Bible, that we have a family. And that is our mothers and brothers and sisters. I love trying to walk from the college room over to the college section because I constantly get people talking to me. I get hugs and I get smiles and waves, and I know the rest of the college kids do too, that you have a family here that you may miss somewhere else. That people are constantly wanting to come up to you and introduce you. There's constantly people over here in the college section that are way out of the college group, and yet they just want to talk to people in fellowship. That's something that we have here, is a wonderful family that is knit closely to Christ, that we constantly watch out for one another. I've been visiting since my freshman year. I've come in and out, and I've worshipped a lot of different places, been to a lot of different places through Vanguard and a lot of and other programs, and I worshipped at many different congregations, but in May when I became part of the staff here, you guys brought me in, and you haven't let go yet, and I hope you don't. And I'm not going to let go either, because we have a wonderful family here. It's what Doug talked about this morning, talking about baptism, that when you commit yourself to Christ and you combine with Christ, that you become part of a group, part of a dynamic, part of something powerful that I can't comprehend a lot of the time. I have a family here that I can't fully relate to because, like I said, if you were to look at my family, I may have a warped view of it. I may have had some bad experiences, yet I have more fathers here than I've ever had in my entire life. add more mothers and brothers and sisters. And that's the thing that we have when it comes to being in the body of Christ. And when you look at these verses, he's talking about the ones that do what Jesus says, that listen to his commandments. So take that phrase and let's follow it through. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. And let's talk about how we can really build up the church and what is it exactly that makes this family. If you go to Luke chapter 6 and start reading in verse 46. And I hope you find out by now that I like to read a lot of scripture. So we're going to read chunks at a time. But we're going to start reading in verse 46. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like." Very similar to what we just read when Jesus is talking about what his family is. The ones that want to do his word and his commandments and his will. He says he's like this. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The first step that you need to have when it comes to building up the church, tying the loose ends here at Dalreda, is that you dig deep in your life. You dig deep through all the struggles, through all the pain, through all the bad experiences you may have had in life, and you dig deep past all the struggles and sin that you have, and you find the foundation. You find the rock that is Christ, and you hold on to it and you latch. Because in this story, and you know in Matthew chapter 7, when it talks about the house and the wise man and the foolish man, the wise man built his house on the rock. And when the winds came and the floods came and the river broke against the house, it happened both to the wise and to the foolish. That we are all going to have constant struggles in this world today. Whether it is in your family, that you have divorce, pain, anger, whatever it may be. Whether it's financial situations, whether it's sin, whatever it is. We're going to have constant struggles in this world. But it's going to happen to everybody. But it's what happens with it. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to handle the situation? If you've dug deep within your life, and you have found a faith that you can hold on to that is Christ, that is that foundation, you will stand. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and read more about this foundation. One of the verses that Doug talked about this morning, and I really liked. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start reading in verse 8. It says, "He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." When people reference the church today, they may reference the building. They may hold some buildings and say, "This is the sanctuary. This is the thing, you know, we go to church." No, we are the church. We are God's building. It's not where we are here. This building could be done away with and we could come and meet anywhere. We can meet underneath a tree or with the number that we've got lots of trees. But we'd meet together because we are God's building. We are His church. "And according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done." Here in the church, we have the foundation that we can all agree that we love Christ and we want to serve Him. We wouldn't be here if not. And we want to study His Word and become stronger Christians. We want to lay the foundation, which is Christ. And He says people are going to build upon that foundation. Some people are going to build with weaker things and some with stronger. But the foundation will always last. The foundation is Christ, and each one of us is building on the church here. And I ask you, what are you bringing to the family? What do you bring here? Now, I'm not just talking about you and your children or anything else. I'm talking about what spiritual matters do you bring here? Because we have ministers, elders, deacons, but we have individual members that labor and work here. You make up the church that is the body of Christ, which we're about to get into. You make up the Dalreda church. You make up the universal church that you find from place to place. You go down an Atlanta highway and you find congregation after congregation. That we all work together and we're all building on one church. But what are you doing with it? Are you doing acts of benevolence, loving kindness? Are you reaching out to people in the community and trying to bring them in? Are you taking the Word of God to people that may not have any idea about the hope that they can have, the peace that they can have? What are you building on? Or are you one like the Corinthian church that you may read that brings in division and strife? Are you tearing apart the church of God? Because when you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, you see what we build with. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4, says, "As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Let's go to verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You see that we have this foundation, which is Christ, for the ones that love God and want to build on the church, that each one of you is a stone. And we are coming here to build up God's building. But in God's building, sometimes there's weak rocks. There's weak stones that may fall apart and may crumble because they weren't built properly. Maybe they've allowed themselves to deteriorate over time. And when you read the first verse here in 1 Peter chapter 2, you see two groups of people, one that wants to live on milk and the other one that's living on meat. Where are you at tonight when it comes to your closeness with God, your spirituality, your faith? Are you still living on the milk, the beginnings, the immaturity of Christ? Are you on to the meat now? Are you building on and you're ready for the stronger things? How close are you to God? How close is your prayer life and your Bible study? Because you're the one that may cause a weak link. Or you may be building people up and having a stronger place to hold on to. Because each one of us is building on to the body of Christ. Because we are living stones. Keep that phrase in mind about building. And when you go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Says, "Let no one disqualify you in insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together, through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God." You see here that we are building on, but we're building onto this foundation, which is Christ, but we are the body of Christ. That we hold on to the head, which is Christ. The one that God sent to this world to die for us. So that we may have everlasting life and we hold on to Him. Just as if you were to keep reading in chapter 3, he talks about focusing all of your attention on Christ. He says, not take your sight away from Him. That you press on to Him and you constantly watch after God and want to please Him and serve Him. He says that we hold on to that head, which is Christ, and we are being knit together. We're not separate. We don't work alone. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to camp out here for a while so you can give your fingers a break. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when I think of the family, this is the verses that I automatically think of. 1 Corinthians 12 is the ideal church. It's the ideal mindset that we need to have when establishing God's body and His kingdom. Starting in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." Each one of you bring a different story here. I wish that we had the time to stand up here one by one and tell our personal stories about our life and our conversions. Because I want to know where you come from. I want to know what it is that brought you to the church, what brought you to God, and how you're still holding on, and the struggles that you have that we can work through. I wish that we had time for that, because we all have a different story. Just as what he talked about here, he said different people come in, but he said we have all been baptized into one baptism, though, just as Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, that we all come to one central point. We've come from different places, as you have college students here from all over the United States.
You have members here that are from all over the United States and even different countries. But yet we come together in one unified thought that we are baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we are all connected to that one thing, that we have received the Spirit, and we are now trying to live a righteous life. We are now trying to walk with Christ. That we unify in that. And we are building and being knit together into this wonderful structure. God's building. We are forming together, yet we all have different stories. And we all have different talents. So keep that in mind as we keep reading. And I wish that we had time to read through all these scriptures, but I'm going to summarize two different sets that we have here. He starts talking about the body. He gives it personification. He says, what if the eye says, I don't want to be part of the body anymore? He says, what if the hand says, I don't want to be part of the body. I can't handle this. What if the foot says, well, I don't want to be part of the body either. And it separates and it divides. You are tearing apart the body of Christ is what that ends up being. And one of the struggles that we do have in the church is that we may say we're not worthy. We're not worthy to be part of the body of Christ. I'm not worthy to be around these people that I know are religious. Because if they only knew where I came from, if they only knew the sins that I've committed in my life, the things that I've said, the things that I've done, they wouldn't want me here in this building. I can't be part of this body. I can't do it. I'm going to have to separate myself and I'm going to have to go somewhere else. I can't be here because I don't fit in. That is one of the struggles that we have. People feel like they can't fit into the church. My brother is one of those. He fell away from the church when he was 16. He started working and got his mind preoccupied. And now he lives in Texas, 14 hours away from where I can't really talk to him. But we still have a close relationship. But that's one of his constant struggles is, he said, if people knew the things that I've done, he said, they wouldn't want me here. My brother has tattoos and piercings all over his face, his mouth, his tongue. He does look different. He's about my size, got big curly hair. He's just a big guy. But he does look different with all of his piercings, but he has a genuine heart. He does love people, and he's very caring. But he said, if people knew where I come from, he said, they wouldn't want me in the church. He said, some people actually know where I've been, and they've said things to me that said that I don't need to be in there because I'm different. Isn't that a sad thing? Isn't that sad that people of the body of Christ, the ones who said that they love God and want to serve Him and keep His commandments, that they would say that to a precious soul in God's eyes? Paul talks to Timothy and he says that there's all kinds of different vessels. He says, if you were to look in somebody's house, he said, you got vessels made of gold and silver, clay. He said, there's a lot of different kinds, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Like I said, we all have different stories. We all have different backgrounds. But we all make up God's building. We all can be cleansed out. Those vessels that once were for dishonorable use, that could have been a spit platoon, he said that that can be cleaned out and it can be used for honorable things. That just because you've come from somewhere that you have a bad background, maybe you've caused strife and contentions in your family, maybe you've hurt people, you can still be cleansed. That is what God does. That is what Christ does. That when you give your life to them, you can be cleansed and be free from your sin. So don't ever look at the body and say that I don't fit in, that I can't be part of it, because you can. And I've realized that here, that we are a loving family, that we see people and we want to pull them in and we want to hug them and hold on to them. And let's keep doing that more and more. So that's the first struggle that the church has. The second one is looking out and saying, because you're a hand, you don't need to be part of the body. Because you're this, you don't need to be. And it's not looking inside, it's looking out at others and saying, I know where you've been. I know the things you've done, and you don't need to be here. Or that we gossip and we talk behind one another's backs. I love the way that Paul puts it in Galatians. Listen to this verse, it's very strong. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. He said, if you're constantly biting at one another, he says, if you're constantly trying to tear one another apart, he said, you're tearing apart the body of Christ. He says, watch out because you're going to consume each other. He said, if you're each biting at each other, he said, you're not building anybody up. You're not doing anything profitable. You're tearing apart the body of Christ. But what the mentality is that we really need to have is listen to chapter 6, verse 2, very familiar to you. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That, yeah, I know where you've been and I know the things that you've done, but let's build each other up. Let's do more for the cause of Christ. And then Galatians 6, verse 10. So then, as we have the opportunity, let's do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith, especially our family here. Build one another up. Keep doing it more and more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. So therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Where are you in the body of Christ? We all form this wonderful body, this wonderful building that we are being built together as living stones being knit together, holding on to the head, which is Christ, that from which all blessings flow. What are you bringing to the table tonight? What is it that you offer to the church? Are you biting and devouring and tearing people apart? Or are you building up and helping? Do you look inside and say, I'm not part here, I don't fit in, and you have struggles? Wherever you are tonight, we can help you. James says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. If you've got something that's pulling you back from the church that's harming you, we're here to talk to you. Nobody's going to judge you. That we love you and we want you to be right. If you want to be part of this glorious body, I'd love to talk to you more about what you need to do to become part of this church. And not just here at Dalrata, but universally. Look inside and examine yourself and see where you are tonight and what you're doing with the church here, because we have a wonderful family that loves you and we want to get to heaven and we want to do more for the cause of Christ. Whatever it is that's on your heart tonight, bring it forward as we stand and as we sing.